I want to call your attention this morning to two passages of scripture that we will use as the backdrop for the word that God wants to deposit into our spirit this morning for a time such as this. So if you have your Bibles, and I know you do, I ask you to turn with me first to Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter number 3. We will consider verses 14 through 19. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. And then for our collateral or support passage, we will go to Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 19. Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 14 through 19, as recorded in the King James Version of the Bible. It reads, "For this cause I bow my knee before the Lord, the Father of our Lord Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you by the power of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth and height, and to know the love of God that, or the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God." Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knee before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you by the power of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Now we're going to go to Genesis chapter number 18 and verse 19. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19 reads, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they will keep the way of the Lord and do justice, that God will grant unto Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." If I were to put a tag on this message, especially for the time in which we live, it will be a call to take a knee for righteous causes. A call to take a knee for righteous causes. Pray with me this morning. Yahweh, the hour is come again that your son Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, must be lifted up. For Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women all boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up again this morning. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. When this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen and amen. A call to take a knee for righteous causes. Beloved, this idea of taking a knee or kneeling has become a controversial issue in our nation. It has become a troubling issue, if you will, in these United States. How did this issue come about? Well, it was September 1st, 2016 in San Diego, California, when the San Francisco 49ers were going against the San Diego Chargers. And during the singing of the national anthem, the 49ers quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, and number 35, Eric Reed, decided they were going to take a knee on the sidelines during the singing of the national anthem. They were doing this, beloved, in protest against racial injustice and police brutality against African Americans and people of color in these United States. Well, what do you know? This idea of taking a knee, this stands of Kaepernick and Reed caused a controversy that divided the country into two camps. One camp was made up of those who agreed with and supported them, and these included veterans and military people. And the other camp included or was led by President Donald Trump and those who opposed the actions of Kaepernick and Reed. They opposed this action because they felt like it was a disrespect. It was an insult, if you will, to the flag of the United States and to the men and women who fought and are fighting in the U.S. military to support and defend this flag and the nation that it represents. Oh, my brothers and sisters, these people that spoke against and were incensed by this act of Kaepernick and Reed did not believe in kneeling. They felt that kneeling during the national anthem was wrong. And they did not just oppose it, but they oppose it vehemently and sarcastically. But as I read through our passage this morning, as I studied, as I engaged Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus, the third chapter, beginning with the fourth verse, I came to realize, Elder Wilson, that this idea of kneeling did not begin with Kaepernick and Reed. A matter of fact, this idea of protesting against injustice and wrong and evil against minorities and those who may not be able to stand up for themselves is not a new thing. It started in Bible days. And here we find the Apostle Paul, who is called the father of the Gentile church, the apostle whom God called and appointed to minister to the Gentiles and to take the gospel to them. This man who gave his whole life and was committed to doing all that he could by the power of the Spirit of God to make sure that the Gentiles were successful in their Christian journey and that they were not intimidated. They were not abused. They were not blocked from the experiences that they were entitled to as sons and daughters of God by those who called themselves Judaizers. Paul, the apostle, decided he was going to protest. And he was going to protest, beloved, by taking a knee. I haven't talked to Kaepernick or Reed, but I believe that they got their cue from the Apostle Paul. Because when we read Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus in the third chapter between the 14th and the 19th verse, we hear the Apostle Paul saying, I made a decision to take a knee. I made a decision to bow my knee against injustice and to plead for the favor of God to be granted to the Gentiles, to my children, so that they may enjoy all of the benefits of what being a child of God is. Oh, beloved, I want you to know this morning that Paul has left us a great legacy. Legacy that says it is okay to take a knee. It is okay to bow your knee, bless God, but you must know what you are bowing for and where you are bowing. You cannot just kneel anywhere and for any reason. So this morning, I ask you to take a trip with me through the passages of this text. And let's see what it is that Paul is trying to teach us this morning. There are two things that I want us to take note of that Paul is expressing to us in these verses that I believe we can use to make the decision to answer the call to take a knee. The first is his purpose for kneeling. I wish somebody would say his purpose for kneeling. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, for this cause, oh bless God, I bow my knee. Paul took a knee, but Paul had a purpose, and he declared that purpose. What purpose is it, Paul? What is the cause for which you are taking a knee? The three things that Paul shares with us, beloved, that make up the purpose, the cause for him taking a knee. The first we find in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16. And that is the power of Yahweh being granted to the children of God by his spirit in the inner man. Here's how he says it. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul says that he, Yahweh, will grant you according to the power of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Oh, beloved, Paul is saying the first reason for me taking a knee is that the Spirit of God will grant you power, that you will have spiritual power to be able to hold yourself together when things are happening on the outside. Because, beloved, before the outside can be strong, the inside must be stable and sturdy. I wish somebody would hear me. Paul says the times in which we live and the things that we are going through is going to need and going to take more than just physical strength. You need inner strength, and that inner strength can only be granted by the Spirit of God. Paul is saying to us, beloved, that our fight, that our battle is not terrestrial, that it is extraterrestrial, that it is spiritual. This is how he says it in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 12. He says, for you are not wrestling against flesh and blood, oh, bless God, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are two words that Paul uses in that verse, in verse 12, that I need to just break down to make you understand that what you and I are dealing with are not flesh and blood. The first word that Paul uses is that word that the King James translate as principalities. It is the word archaic. It is from that word, beloved, that we get our English word archive. You know what archives are used for. They're used to house and to store old documents, things that are perennial, things that have been around for a while. And Paul is saying to us, you are not wrestling against flesh and blood, says Adams. You are wrestling against someone who has a whole lot of experience. You are wrestling against archaic, Elder Landry. You are wrestling against someone who's been around the block a few times, got two hats and a t-shirt. In other words, the enemy of our soul who is coming against us has been doing this for a long time. Wrestling against principalities. You are wrestling against archaic. He is experienced in this. He knows exactly where to push and how hard to push and when to push. You're not wrestling against a novice. You are wrestling against a perennial fighter. And then the second word that he uses is that word exercer. And it is the word from which we get our English word exercise. Authority. He said, you're not fighting against flesh and blood, but you are fighting against principalities and power. Not dunamis power, not explosive power, but exercer power. You are fighting against authority. Let me give you an example. I get in my car and I'm driving and I'm just whistling along. I'm having me a good time. Got my music on and I'm riding. That car belongs to me. I pay the insurance. And I'm going to where I choose to go and have the right to go. But all of a sudden, I see another car pulls up behind me. He has a blue light flashing. He puts on a sound called a siren. And guess what? I have to pull over. I have to stop. Why? Because he has authority. Not because he has power. Literally, I may be able to physically handle him and take him down. But he represents Baton Rouge's best. And so I have to pull over, and he tells me to get out of my car, and I have to get out of my car. He tells me to put my hand up, and I got to put my hand up. Why? Because he is not dealing with dunamis power, strength power. He is dealing with authority. An authority that is given to him by or her, by the city of Baton Rouge. And so Paul is saying, beloved, you and I are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against someone who has a long experience and has authority to do what he is doing. And this person is not in the physical realm. They are in the spiritual realm, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why we need Holy Ghost power. You need Holy Ghost power for the inner man. Oh, beloved, young people, young black men and women and colored men and women and minorities and Hispanic men and women are going through a season in this time. They're going through some experiences that call for the people of God to take a knee, so that God may grant them that power, may grant them that authority, may grant them that Holy Ghost stability on the inner man. So that's the first reason, the first cause that Paul tells us mix up the purpose for his kneeling. The second cause that Paul tells us mix up the purpose for his kneeling is the presence and the peace of Yahweh through the indwelling of Yeshua the Christ. The presence and the peace of Yahweh through the indwelling of Yeshua the Christ. This is how he says it in verse 17 and 18. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Oh, beloved, what Paul is saying is if you and I are going to be able to make it in this season, if our children, if the young people that we are mentoring, like Paul being the father and the mentor and the spiritual leader to the church at Ephesus, the Gentile church, if we are going to be able to see our children through this season, Elder Landry, he said we should get on our knees and ask Yahweh to give them the indwelling of Christ. Oh, beloved, the presence of Christ brings the peace of Christ. And we cannot suffice these times. We cannot make it in these times if we do not have the presence and the peace of Christ dwelling within us. Because this battle that we're fighting, this age in which we live, where it is a crime to drive while black. It is a crime to sleep while black. It is a crime to play while black. It is a crime to jog while black. And this crime, beloved, is punishable by death. Upon arrest by the arresting officer or officers. It seems like it is a crime to jog, to walk, to drive, to shop, and to sleep while black. And whenever you are arrested, the arresting officer has taken upon themselves to find you guilty and give you the ultimate punishment, death by execution on sight. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me today, beloved. And if you think I'm lying, ask Eric Gardner. If you think I'm lying, ask a little boy in Ohio called Tamir Rice. Playing while black. If you think I'm lying, has Breonna Taylor sleeping in her own home while black. If you think I'm lying, has George Floyd shopping while black. If black, if you think I'm lying, has Tayvon Martin walking home while black. If you think I'm lying, oh, beloved, I don't want to waste your time naming all of the people who have had to lose their lives because they were doing something while black, although what they were doing was not really a crime. What the crime was the fact that they were black. So this tells us, beloved, that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against principalities and against powers and against spiritual wickedness in high places and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And if we are going to survive, we need the indwelling of Christ and the peace that he brings. This peace must not only be, and this indwelling must not only be a personal and private indwelling, but it has to be a communal and community indwelling, the presence and the peace of God. The presence and the peace of God. Paul said that you may be rooted and grounded in love. That love, beloved, is agape love. It is the love that gives to those that don't deserve getting it. It is the love that loves the sinner but hates the sin. It is the love, beloved, that goes beyond just liking people who like you. Who like you and hating people who hate you. It is a love that says, I'm going to protest, but I am not going to get down to the level of the people that I am protesting against. It is a love that says, I am going to love those who hate me. It is a love that says, I am going to pray for those who treat me unkindly. It is a love that goes beyond being nice during nice times, but it is a love that stretches you to do good and do right during times that are not good and are not right to people that are not being good and being right to you. Is somebody listening to me today? And you cannot do that, beloved, without having Yeshua dwelling in you. One of the apostles says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Oh, bless God. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. It is Christ who lives within me. And a life that I now live, I live by faith. There it is. Through the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. So Paul says, I'm taking a knee this morning, Berean, and I am calling you to join me in taking a knee for this righteous cause that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in his love, because he is dwelling in you, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the height or the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And this brings us to our third reason. Paul says, for this cause, I bow my knee. What cause, Paul? This third reason makes up the cause. And he says, it is the provision and the purpose of God in your life. The purpose and provision that goes beyond human knowledge and rationale. This is how he says it in verse 19. He says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God. Oh, bless God. I'm talking about taking a knee for our children, taking a knee for our posterity, taking a knee for ourselves. Paul says, I want you to take a knee. Number three, so that you may be able to fully embrace and comprehend the purpose and the provision of God. This purpose and provision of God is expressed through the love and the life of Christ Jesus. Oh, beloved, the Bible says the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. What knowledge? Human knowledge. Because you will never be able to understand the love of Christ if you use human knowledge and human rationale. Because we're living in a dog-eat-dog world, and you kick my dog out, kill your cat, and burn your house. That's the kind of world that we live in. But Jesus came. Can you see him hanging on that cross of Calvary? They flogged him and bruised his back all night, beloved, taking him from one kangaroo court to another. He was thirsty. He was tired. He was fatigued. Oh, they put a rugged cross on his back. He went falling, but getting up again. He takes it on Golgotha's hill, and then they took him and they stretched him wide and hung him high. He hung his head, but before he died, watch this, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is that love of Christ that Paul is saying. He's praying that you and I may understand. Because when we understand that, we will be able to be filled with the fullness of God, which is the purpose of God, supported by the provision of God. I have come to understand, beloved, that when God calls you and when you have a full grasp of his purpose, he will give you a provision for that purpose. I heard a young man say to me one time, and I thought it was so awesome. He said, Pastor, God will not give you a vision without giving you the provision. Paul said, I'm praying. I'm getting on my knees in order for you to be able to have the fullness of God, fullness of Yahweh. So here it is, the purpose. First, the power of God to be granted to you by his spirit in a man. The purpose. The peace, the presence and peace of God that comes through Yeshua, his son, whom the Greeks call Jesus, to dwell in you so that you may be rooted and grounded. The purpose. And the last, he says, the purpose and the power of God that comes through the love of Christ, expressing the fullness of God, that you will be able to have more than an educated and informed knowledge of God. But Paul says he wants us to have an experiential knowledge of God. Yes, a lot of us know about God, but we don't know him. We know about Jesus, or we can rattle of scripture texts. We know where in the Bible to go and find what. But the question is, do you really have an experience with him? Have you really met him, or do you just read about him? Oh, yes, I know Barack Obama. He was the 44th president of these United States. Oh, yeah, I can identify him when I see him. I know he has two beautiful daughters and a pretty wife called Michelle. But beloved, I have never met Barack. I cannot give you any experiential testimony of my interaction with Barack. All I know about Barack is what I've heard and seen on TV and read in a paper. And it is a sad thing that most of our experience with Yahweh and his Christ is that way. It's only what we've read and heard Oh, but Paul says, no, I want you to go beyond what you read and hear. I want him to dwell in you. I want you to have an experience, oh, beloved, in the business world is called a resume. What Paul is talking about in the academic world is called a curricula vitae. But in the Christian world, in the spiritual realm, it is called a testimony. And you and I need to know God from our own personal experience to have a testimony. I thank God for the pastor's testimony. I thank God for the bishop's testimony. I thank God for my mama's testimony, for Big Mama's testimony. I thank God for my daddy's testimony. I thank God for the elders' testimony. Oh, but I heard a song that says, Mama may have and Papa may have, but God bless the child who has his own. And you and I need to get to that place. And the only way we're going to be able to do it is if we are willing to take a knee. And so the first thing that we get from this passage is the purpose for Paul taking a knee. The second thing is the place. Paul shows us that in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, for this cause I bow my knee before the Father of our Lord, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Paul is saying, I want you to have a cause for taking a knee, but don't just kneel anywhere. Don't just kneel because it is politically correct to kneel. Don't just kneel because you see other people kneeling. Paul says you must have a clear, defined purpose for kneeling, and you must know where to kneel, because if you kneel in the wrong place on the wrong thing, you can have serious problems. We just found that out not too long ago in Minneapolis, Minnesota, when that police officer who thought he had a cause for kneeling, knelt on the wrong thing, and it was George Floyd's neck, and snuffed his life out of him. And the whole world went haywire and decided enough is enough. Beloved, you and I need to know when to kneel, where to kneel. We can just kneel before anything and anybody. We can just kneel in a place. Paul gives us a clear example of where to kneel and why to kneel. He says, I'm not just kneeling because some man is white and has money and has a business, so I kneel before him. No, no, no. I'm not kneeling because some man is black and he is big and he thinks he's tough. No, no, no. I'm not just kneeling because the government says I should kneel. I'm not just kneeling because kneeling is in vogue. Everybody around me is kneeling. No, he said, I am kneeling for a righteous cause, and I'm not just kneeling before anybody. I am kneeling before Yahweh, the supreme ruler of the world, unto whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I know where I'm kneeling. My question to you this morning, my brother and sister, is where are you kneeling? Or when last did you take a knee? What is going on in your world, in your family, in your life that has pushed you to do this thing that Paul did, this thing that Kaepernick did, this thing that Reed did, this thing that even those whom we have known throughout history that stood up for righteousness did? Let me pause here a little bit and say, I just want to encourage fathers. I'm not picking you out of the bunch, but You know, our mothers and our wives have spent time on their knees praying for us, praying for their family and their children. And I believe it is high time that fathers take their rightful place, that they begin to take a knee for their sons, for their daughters, for their wives, for their community, for their church. Beloved, we need to recognize the necessity for kneeling, because kneeling brings us in the presence of God. Paul says that Christ may dwell in you, that you will know the presence, experience the presence and the peace of God. And beloved, the father is the priest, the provider, and the protector of the family. And if the father is not kneeling, if you're not bringing your children together in the morning or in the evening, sometime during the day, before the presence of our God and our Father, who is going to do that? Families are falling apart because fathers, the priest of the homes, are reneging on their responsibility. And Paul says, every child of God, every Christian, every blood-bought believer must learn to take a knee for righteous cause. And that kneeling must be in a right place before God. Most of us are kneeling before our jobs. Most of us are kneeling before our homes, our cars, those toys we have, our man cave, I heard. But we got to kneel in the presence of Yahweh. Paul says we have to take a knee. And as I close this morning, I'm praying, beloved, that you don't join that group that says it's wrong to take a knee against evil. It's wrong to take a knee against injustice. Oh yes, this thing about taking a knee and fathers leading out like Paul, the father to the Gentiles, led out, is affirmed and edified by Yahweh himself when he talks about another man, another father, another parent who he promised to bless. Abraham, the father of the faithful. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. God says, I know him. Oh, bless God. In other words, he's been before me and he has taken a knee in my presence. I know him. He will command his children and his household after him. And they will keep the ways of the Lord to do justice and righteousness, so that God will bring to pass that which he hath spoken of him. Oh, beloved, God has spoken some things in your life, spoken some blessings, spoken some favors, spoken destiny in your life. If you're listening to me today, I don't know where you are and what you're dealing with, and I don't know what issues you're wrestling with, but I want you to know that you don't need to throw in and throw up the white flag of surrender. I want you to know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I want you to know that the whole host of heaven is rooting for you. But the only way these things will come to fruition in your life and in the life of your posterity, in the life of your children and grandchildren and generations on board, is going to be when you make up your mind and decide to take a knee. Because Abraham took a knee, beloved. Job took a knee, beloved. Oh, I want you to know that Jacob and Isaac took a knee, beloved. And now Paul the apostle took a knee Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, and Eric Reed taking a knee. And I love all these men that are taking a knee, but more than them, there is one who took a knee. And because of that, you and I have been adopted and have been grafted into the family of God again. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. The Bible says when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was arrested and taken to the cross, Jesus took a knee. He got on his knee, and for an hour in the presence of Yahweh, he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass over me. I see what I'm going to go through, and I don't like it. I have never had an experience like this before." But while he was on his knee, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And it was during that time when Yeshua took a knee that the power of God embodied him, the Spirit of God embodied him, and he was able to go with a sturdy mind, with peace. He was able to go with a clear direction and focus. He was able to go to the cross of Calvary. He was able to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do, what they do." He was able to hang his head and die. They took him off that cross and put him in a borrowed grave. And the Bible says that Sunday morning, bless God, he was able to get up from that grave. Why? Because he took a knee. And today he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercessions for you and I. When we take a knee, I heard somebody saying that a whole lot of kneeling will put you in good standing. And I don't know about you this morning, but the hell that we are going through, all of the wickedness that we are experiencing, that is plaguing our environment, the world that we live in, if we are going to survive, we need to do like Abraham. We need to do like Isaac and Jacob. We need to do like Paul. We need to do like Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed. But more than that, we need to do like Yeshua, Jesus. Is anybody out there today who is not ashamed and who has made a decision and is willing to take a knee? Say, "I'll take a knee." Oh, beloved, I am willing to take a knee. There is a protest organized by our sister church, the Ephesus Church in the South Louisiana Federation, and that protest is going to be going on in New Orleans today. They also are taking a knee for righteousness, and they've planned and prepared for government officials and others, politically influential people to come and speak against injustice and wickedness. And I'm going to encourage you, if you can get there sometime this afternoon, that you do that. Oh, but I thank God for this legacy that Paul has left us. For this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus, that he will grant you, according to the power of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length and breadth and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God. May God bless you. May God keep us as we answer this call to take a knee in the presence of our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, beloved, we thank God for his word this morning. If you have been blessed by this word, and if it is your decision to take a knee, I want you to just unmute and say all of the amen that you've been trying to say, but you couldn't say it because of our requirement to keep muted.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, this is that time of our service when we encourage you to share with this ministry. If you're watching on Facebook, or if you're going to watch on YouTube, if this message has been a blessing to you, I am encouraging you, beloved, to just click or press share. Share with somebody. Tell them they need to hear it for times such as this. And if you live in the Baton Rouge area, when COVID-19 passes over and we're back on our campus, we're at 4555 Fairfields Avenue, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70802. Come by. We'll roll out the red carpet for you. Come and enjoy this worship experience with us, because like we say here, it is a breath of fresh air. If you don't live in this community, in this area, and your travels bring you through Baton Rouge, either on the weekend or on Wednesday, when we open again, join us on Wednesday at 6:30 for our power, and on Saturdays at 9:15 for our Sabbath school, and 11 o'clock for our divine worship. If you want to be a blessing to us, you can go to our website, BereanBatonRouge.com, and there is an online giving. We will send you a tax deductible receipt for you to use for your taxes at the end of the year. If you don't feel like going online and doing the online thing and you want to go to snail the old route, just write your check to the Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church, 4555 Fairfields Avenue, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70802. And we know that God will bless you real good, and we will be blessed by your blessing. May God keep you. If you want to know Jesus, you can send me a text at 504-621-8418, or you can send us an email at BereanBatonRouge@gmail.com, and we'll get back to you and help you to get to know Christ for yourself. If you know him, if you're saved, but you've been slacking, I encourage you, beloved, today to recommit to your walk with the Lord. At this time, we're going to ask Elder Manuska to give us our benediction, and then we will be dismissed.
More beyond all, so we can ask questions. To him be glory forever in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations. Amen.
Amen. Elder Manuska, you didn't come through clear. I don't know what's going on. If you can hear me, can you just do that again? Because we kind of, I heard words, but didn't understand what you were saying.
after him who is able to do far more abundantly above all that we can ask for something. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, beloved. We will see you again on the same platform that you join us on Wednesday evening at 6:30 for our hour of power. We have a young preacher. His name is Daniel Charles. Daniel will be coming to us this Wednesday out of New Orleans, Louisiana. And we want you to join us. You will be truly blessed. God bless you. Have a good day.